About that little girl, Emma tore me out the frame. I mean, I'll ask Andy, I almost broke down because, I kid you not, I prayed for her for a long time. She was in my prayer book. And just hearing now, I was like, man, I told Amy, I said, gosh, I don't know. I don't know if I can hold it back. I said, I'm about ready to cry. I said, I feel like I lost something there. And it's sad, but I believe the Lord spared her. I mean, I don't know why He did it. I don't know why He took her. I don't know why He did what. You know what? He knows better than I know. I'm going to tell you that tonight. As I stay here tonight, I'm going to tell every person in here, God knows better than I know. Okay? I mean, He just proved that to me all time and time again. But yesterday I had a, man, Pastor, you know those days when you just get along with the Lord, and it's just a wonderful one. I had one of those again yesterday. I just can't believe that God would even spend time with somebody like me. If you've never experienced that wonderful experience, maybe you need to try it once in a while. Because I tell you what's wonderful. My kids think I'm nuts. I walk around the house yelling and singing and just, I mean, I'm having a good time. And yesterday I had a good time with the Lord. I had a good prayer. Amy knows something I used to do a long time ago, maybe my brother would remember, but I used to write poems a lot. And I just had a good time with the Lord and the Bible yesterday, and He actually gave me a poem, and I'm going to read it tonight. And it's touching because it has nothing to do with anybody else in here, but it has something to do with me. This is what Jesus has done for me. So I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to get into the message. It really goes with it. And I thank God for what He gave me. You can think it's corny or whatever else, and that's fine with me. I wrote it for the Lord. I wrote it between me and Him. Matter of fact, I sang it to Luke yesterday, didn't I, buddy? Yeah, he thought it was good, but I'm going to read it. And it goes like this. It goes, thank you, Lord, for forgiving my sin. Thank you, Lord, for becoming my dearest friend. Thank you, Lord, for the price that you paid. Thank you, Lord, I listen to this, for seeing my life saved. Okay, He's seen that one day in the future, Dale Moore may get saved. I thank Him for that, not letting Him stop Him from going to that cross. But you know, He just looked in the future and saw that maybe just one day Dale Moore was going to get saved. He saw that. Your own feelings did not get in the way when you looked down in the future and you looked down my way. For shedding your own blood so that I might be saved. Thank you, Lord, for thinking of me on that day. Thank you, Lord, for the blood that ran down your face. Thank you, Lord, for on that cross you took my place. Thank you, Lord, for enduring the flames of hell for me. Thank you, Lord, for dying that I may be free. Thank you, Lord, for rising out of your grave. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together for all eternity. Thank you, Lord, for by your wounds I am healed. Thank you, Lord, for eternity, my heart and my soul, you did seal. And at the bottom I said, I can never thank you enough, Jesus. So I offer my life to you. Thank you, Lord. And that's just something God put on my heart. I'm thankful for the Lord. I'm thankful for what He did for Dale Morey. I mean, that's something that the Lord showed me early on. I should be thankful to the Lord. Yeah, we have hard times and things get rough. But you know, I'm thankful because He even thought of me on that cross. I'm thankful that He didn't say, Father, I'm not going on that cross for Him. I don't want to die for Dale Moore. I'm not going on the cross for Him. He just did too much wickedness for me. I don't want nothing to do. I thank God that He looked down and He seen me one day. He just looked down and said, you know what? This is my son. He's going to be my son. I thank Him for seeing me. But I'm going to just say that there's troublesome times. I see a lot of people going through a lot of troubled times here. And I believe the Lord put something on my heart. And it could be that God is troubling your still waters. And we all have still waters in our life. But you know, it seems like right now there's a lot of things going on in the church. A lot of people being troubled. And there's two things. Here's number one. If God is troubling your still waters, you may be lost. You may not have salvation. And that's okay when God troubles your waters. You need your waters troubled. Trust me. I wouldn't be saved today if my waters were troubled. Matter of fact, I told my wife, I said, we didn't get saved in peaceful times. We got saved in troublesome times. Because that's, you know, in troublesome times, we'll open our eyes to God. He knows that. It's in times of troubles, He'll say, He knows, Pastor, that we'll finally look to Him. That we might just listen to Him for once. He knows that in troublesome times, that we might just call on His name with sincere heart and maybe just get saved. So if your waters are being troubled, you may be lost. That's not something I can tell you. God knows if you're lost. God knows if you're saved. But if you're having troubled waters, let's go ahead and check that out. It won't hurt you. Might just save your soul from the flames of hell. Maybe you'll come up here one day and thank God for what He's done for you and doing for you and your family. I know I'm thankful. We're going to start in Judges 6. Judges 6. And God is good. I mean, God is good all the time, good or bad. I just told the pastor, I said, you know, we got income tax return and everything else and this and that. And bam, $1,700 in a car. Gone. Bam. I thank God for my nephew because he did the work for me. But my truck cost me $506 alone just for two coil packs and eight spark plugs. $506. Okay? I mean, I'm just telling you, man, it's money. But, you know, that's just how it, my wife is safe. Her car is safe. I'm happy. That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about my wife being safe. Okay? I mean, she's saved and all. And I believe, it's funny, she goes home telling, you know, she's getting all these texts from, you know, women asking her about her faith and, you know, this and that. It always starts with her dress, and she explains. She's got a good reason, a good way she explains it. I'm not going to get into it right now. But I was praying, Lord, just take her out of her comfort zone. That's what she needs. Huh? She don't like to go out there preaching, but it's her testimony, people. That's what it is. She's not out there preaching the word to people and stuff. She's out there living a Christian life. And they're just asking her questions. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes the best testimony is the way you walk and live and talk and breathe and dress. That could be a big testimony right there in itself. I thank God what He's doing to Amy's life. I thank God if He was to open a door for her to tell somebody about it, maybe they'll get saved. We don't know that. Do we know that? No, we don't know that. But God knows what He's doing. And, you know, if He's going to take me out of my comfort zone, He's taking Amy. I said, I ain't going alone. That's good. Judges 6, verse 13. Judges 6, verse 13. It says, "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why then is all this befallen us? And where be all His miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken and delivered us to the hands of the Midianites. When all the troubles in the world come upon you, we wonder why, us. Where's God in all this? Where's all the victory that people talk about having when you serve the Lord? God has His reasons for putting us through what we go through. Like I said earlier, listen, God could never bring Dale Rory to the point where He wants me if my life is just full of peace and nothing ever goes wrong. There's reason why things happen in your life. There's reason why troubled times come. And you know what? He says, where's the victories at? The victors are seeing what God is trying to get you to see during those times. Oh, sure, if God talked to you just only when times are good, how much are you going to pay attention to Him? You're not going to. You know, when times are good, when you have money, and you're out there just doing whatever you want to do, hey, you don't think about God. You just admit it today. We don't think about God when we're in that state. But go ahead and let God put you in trouble. We're talking about God here, people. We're not talking about a human being sitting there. We're talking about God, the Almighty God, who knows what to do, what He's got to do to bring you down to His level. For Him to be able to talk to you and speak to you. First thing we see, let's go to 1 Peter 4:1. 1 Peter 4:1. Troublesome times. Gideon's talking about times of trouble right there. 1 Peter 4:1. That's what I said, right? Yes. Okay. Bob, you know, I'm excited about this weekend. Vernon's going to be here. McVeigh's going to be here. Me and McVeigh have been talking, I mean, a lot. Me and him are always on the horn with each other. I love my brothers. You know, he said, you know, I said, hey, you got these size pants? Because he sent out a text saying about pants. I said, hey, you got this size? He goes, I did, but I kept them. You know, so he won't give me any. But he's funny, but he's a good brother. Tomorrow night we won't be at Bible study. We're going to go with the Nispels. They were the missionaries to Romania. Man, Amy we clicked with them when they stayed in our house. We have an awesome relationship with them. He's preaching in the Hornell. We're going to go have dinner and go, you know, listen to him preach tomorrow night. So it's just going to be a good time to be able to spend time with friends. Her and Lisa talk just about every single day, 7 days a week. And it's so funny because they have so much in common. They're praying for each other. This one's struggling with this. This one knows the answer to it. I mean, it's great to have a friendship like that. I mean, that's, you know, we're brothers and sisters for that reason. My best friends are sitting in this room.
Amen.
That's where my best friends are. My best friends aren't out in the world. You guys are my best friends, and I mean that with all my heart. I get to sit back there and watch the elders, and you know where I learn all my stuff from? Watching you guys. I mean that with all my heart. I mean, just watch the way Dick and Jerry Feister take, Skip Feister, the way they take care of their wives like that. I mean, that's amazing to me. You don't see no men do that these days. Yeah, they run out, their wife gets sick or whatever, they run out the door. I watch these guys labor for their wives, labor. Labor to love them. Labor to take care of them. And that's what I want to do. And if that's what the Lord ever had for me and Amy, I would just love to sit there and go and have my kids watch me and say, you know where I learned that from? I learned that from the Feisters. Or I learned that from Dick Botas. Or I learned that from watching Dick Harbeck. Or Jim Wilcox. Or Paul Gordon. Or our pastor. That's where I learned how to be a man. Watching these men of God. Watching them. There's nothing wrong with that. 1 Peter 4:1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. And listen, people, if you're going to live for Christ, you're going to suffer. So go ahead and put that in your head. If you're really honestly living for the Lord, there's going to be some sufferings. That's just how it is. Especially if you're trying to live a life according to the Word of God. You're going to go through a lot of sufferings. Okay? First of all, a lot of people don't like it. A lot of people don't like when you live as a Christian. Okay? I mean, that's just how it is. And I've learned, you know, sometimes it's better off just to keep my mouth closed and let them speak and say whatever they have to. Because when I start saying things, people get mad at me. And I'm not meaning to offend anybody. I really don't mean to offend people. But as a saved man, I believe this King James Bible. I believe with all my heart it has saved and turned my life around. That I'm in a place that I never thought possible. And I'll tell you now, from getting saved and having a King James Bible in front of me, and people think I'm a nut because I believe it. I'm not the nut. I sit around and watch you guys that aren't saved, and I see who the nuts are. It ain't me. Okay, I'm just telling you now. I'm not. You know what? I'm tired. Like I said on Facebook, and I put out a Weebly. I am just absolutely tired of having to hold my tongue and for what I believe and what has changed my life because I'm afraid to offend somebody. You offend me. You offend me, but I can't say nothing. I'm done with that kind of life. I don't go out there and call you all anybody kinds of names and all that kind of stuff. Do I? Anybody ever see me do it? I don't do that kind of stuff. But if I want to put a verse, on my Facebook page, and it offends you, but you're mad at me, then get off my Facebook page. You don't belong there. That's all. Don't come in my zone. Don't come into what I believe. You can believe whatever you want, then leave me alone, let me believe what I want. I don't tell anybody how to live their life, ever. Amy, do you recall me telling anybody how to live their life? No. But I tell you what, they sure try to tell me. Why? Because I believe a King James Bible. I'm a Christian. I got saved. That's what I live. That's what I like to do. You know what? I had troublesome times. That's where I learned my stuff, though, in troubled times. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he suffered in the flesh, has ceased from sin. The more that I sin and God shows me what I've done, and then He goes ahead and starts spanking me, the less that I want to do that sin.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you right now, that's what it's saying. It's saying, because you're suffering so much in sin, eventually, a lot of people don't come to the end of themselves, you see? A lot of people don't come to the end of their self-sinning. But I'm just telling you, look what the verse says. It says, for he that suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. No, I'm not sinless, but I sin less. I sin less. Why? Because all the suffering that I go through. The suffering of, listen, there's a price to pay when you're out there sinning. There's a price to pay. If you think that you're getting away with it, you have another sin coming. You're really not. God's just biding his time. He's storing it up. He knows everything that you're doing and have done. And I'm telling you, one day you're going to face it. Listen, you're better off to be, you won't be sinless. You will not ever stop sinning. But you will sin less if you really just go ahead and give your life over to the Lord. Go ahead and give yourself over to a King James Bible. I'm just telling you now, you'll want to sin less. That's my goal every day is to go a day without sinning. I fail, but you know what? My goal, I strive for that every single day. What is wrong with me striving? What is wrong with somebody out there who wants to just do good in life? To help somebody? somebody, maybe pray for somebody, give somebody a hand. I mean, just live a good life. I can go in clothes right now. I mean, man, for whatever reason, I don't do anything extra. No, I mean, but they're just loving me. This old lady back, she's got to be in her 70s. You know, I mean, they just, she came up to me. I said, hey, Beth, I'm going to be leaving. I'm going to go, I got to have surgery today. And she put her arm around me. And she goes, oh, my gosh, you are such a blessing. You know, and Jim's sitting there smiling. And, you know, I'm just like, man, I like being thought of like that. Now, if I didn't get saved, nobody was thinking of me like that. I didn't have people who just want to come up, especially older folks. They didn't want to come up and hear somebody like me and hug somebody like me. But now I got her. She just stood there. It wasn't nothing, son. She just came up beside me, just put a little arm around me like that. She goes, and I just love having you here. You are such a blessing to us. I love hearing that. I mean, that's something that I never... I hope this is my water. If not, I'm drinking something.
It is now.
Ooh. But I like hearing that. I like people seeing me. What's wrong with people seeing me that way? But I'm the nut. Why? Because I'm clean shaven. Because I dress good. I'm the nut. I got the right mind. Remember I preached on that? The right mind. I have the right mind now. And, you know, my kids love it. Don't be trying to fall asleep on them because I spank in church. No, it's good. But, you know, it's a good thing. You know, I'm having a good time being a Christian. I really am enjoying my Christian life. I mean, I used to sit back and look at people and go, what do you mean, enjoy your Christian life? How can that be fun? I'm telling you, I'm having fun. I'm having fun, man. I mean, I'm having fun. Well, let me read this. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. You need to have troubled times when you're out there sinning. You need it. Why? Because then you're going to stop your sinning, and you're going to go ahead and start living to the will of God. You understand? If you're not troubled by your sins, if you're not troubled by what you're doing, there's a problem. There's a problem of why you're not being troubled. Number one, you may be lost. Okay. Number two, maybe your flesh is too big and God's got to knock you down a notch. Huh? Because you should be living for the will of God. That's what the Bible says right there. When he troubles that water, when he starts troubling you because of the things you're doing that he is not pleased with, I mean, you mean to tell me God's pleased with everybody in this room every time, all the time? No, he is not. What are you missing then? Maybe you're just not looking in the King James Bible enough. Maybe you're not reading what God, maybe you're not paying attention. Maybe you're missing what God is trying to tell you. I used to miss it a lot. Why? Because I thought I knew everything. I had a big old head. I got this now. I'm saved. Yeah, I'm good. No, I'm telling you now. Listen, pop your little head. Get off your little high throne. Go ahead and kick your pride out the back door and get into the King James Bible and let it tell you and show you what you really are. And I promise you it won't hurt you that bad. I mean, we're men and women enough where we can go out there and sin and don't bother us. You mean to tell me you're afraid to face who you are? Is that what it is? You're afraid to see what you really are? They're a tough guy, tough girl, tough teenager, tough kid. Whoever you are, you're really afraid to see who you are. But you're so tough, everybody walks around like they're so tough. Then go ahead and see how tough you are against the holy God when he starts showing you what you really are. Now, I used to be a fighter. I was a pretty tough guy in my days. But I'll tell you what, God has me on my knees. I bow to nobody, no man. But I bow to God, a holy and just God. He can bring me to my knees quicker than anybody, anything, any time. And I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm glad when he brings me down. I need to be brought down. Need to be brought down. Maybe you need to be brought down a little bit. It won't hurt you. You get up. I got a bad back and I still get back up. He needs to move us and our desires and our sins out before he can bring us to where we need to be. No, we will not be sinless, but we will be sinless. The more we suffer in our flesh because of our sins, the quicker we see it and the less we do it. I'm just telling you, open your eyes to what God is trying to show you. There's not a day that goes by God doesn't try to show somebody something. And I'm telling you that right now. I live it. Judges 6:14. You'll have to turn there. I'm just going to read the verse underneath it. Judges 6:14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this might, and thou shalt save Israel from the land of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Now listen to what I'm going to say here. Then as we see here in verse 14, God does not come and rescue Gideon. No, he sends him out in the weakness, his weakness to accomplish what God wants. In your weakness is when God can use you your best. In your weakness is when God can really get a hold of you and use you for something for His glory. But when you're on that high horse and you really think you're something, God is not going to use you for a second. I'm telling you that right now. He is going to take you and your weakness, bring you to a weakest point in your life, like He did Gideon. Gideon, if you go ahead and read the rest of that story, he's like, I'm poor, we can't do nothing, and so on and so forth. He said, God said, go out there and do what I told you to do. He took Gideon to a weak place in his life, brought him and said, now I can use you. God is going to bring you to a weak point in your life where He can finally use you. No, I have not attained that. I'm not sitting up here saying I attained that, but I'm trying to let Him attain that. That's a hard thing to do. That's a hard thing to do, let God bring me to where I need to be so He can use me for His glory. Please don't ever think it's for my glory. I go through a lot. I pay a big price to get into the Bible the way I do. Huge price. And when God gives me stuff, I may be all happy and up here tonight and this and that, but I'm telling you now, there's a trial coming for me. I know that every single time. I know that. Why? Because that's when God's got to keep me off my high horse. Paul said He had a thorn in His flesh. Why? I was to keep Him in check. God's got to keep us all in check. We get high-minded. High-minded about things. Too high. God's got to keep us in check. I'm just telling you now, when you're in your weakness, at your weakest time, God can use you. He's got to get you out of the way so He can move in. And if we are to be anything for God so that people can see what God has done and what He is doing, then we need to be out of the way. God knows Gideon is poor and broken, but that's exactly what God needs to begin to use people. God doesn't need these Joel Osteens and all these crazy people out there doing what they're doing. He needs somebody who's willing to be humble and humble themselves and go out there amongst the people. You understand? The people. I'll never forget Tina. Give up everything to go back to her people. Here we are, living a life of luxury. I don't care if you're on welfare, working, or whatever. You have to live a luxury here in America, and you still won't go out to your people. Where's all the families that should be sitting in here? Where are all the kids and grandkids that should be filling these pews? Why, we're too afraid to go out to our own people. And I'm not even talking about our neighbors. I'm talking about our own family members. I'm just as guilty. This pew should be filled by kids and grandkids, nieces and nephews, and they're not. They're empty. Why? But we get on that high horse. We don't have to worry about that. We're okay. As long as we're okay, that's okay. No, we need to be out there for... Tina sold everything to go back to her people. They weren't even her family. They were her people. And here we are in America. We can't even go to our own people, our own families that we live with, raised, shed blood with and all that. And here we are. We can't even go out to them. That eats me up. I'm almost positive God's going to use me for something. I don't know what, and I don't know when. But I'm just saying this, make me ready, Lord. That's my prayer every day. And wait till I get to the end of this. And I'm going to, you know what? I have to come to this point in my life at the end of this. I'm going to have to get to it pretty quickly before God will send me. I'm telling you that right now. We all have to come to a point. Listen, if you think that I get up here and preach something that I'm just telling you, you're fooled. This is something that I have to learn. This is something that I work every day. This is something that God gave me. This is something. Why did He give it to me? For you? No, He gave it to me for me. I'm just going to share it with you. You weren't sitting at my table with me when I was reading my Bible, were you? No, He gave it to me. I'm sharing it with you. I'm just telling you now. This is something I have to work on. This is something God showed me about me. I'm willing to share it with you. Isaiah 48:10-11. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. At this point, then God says, okay, now you're ready. He's going to refine you not the way you want to be refined. You need to get that into your head. You want to do anything for God, then you need to allow Him to do what He has to do for you, to you, on His terms, on His way, not your own. Ever wonder why maybe God's not working in your life? Because you want Him to refine you the way you want to be refined. He's not going to do that. He is not going to bow down to a human being. We got that placement a little crooked. We aren't the gods. He is the God. We are His people. Okay? It's not on our terms. It's on His terms. The way He's going to do things. And if you're not willing to go through that fire of affliction, then go ahead and just do what you got to do with your life. Because you're going to do it anyway. But if you're willing to go ahead and serve a holy and living God, then go ahead and give Him your life and go through the afflictions that He's got to put you through. And there will be afflictions. Why? Because He's got to get that dross out of your life. He's got to burn it out. He's got to burn it out. Okay? That's what He's going to do. Isaiah 48:10. But I have refined thee, but not like silver, not with silver. I have chosen thee. And you see, God has chosen us to go through that. We think it's a suffering. But when you see it from God's point of view, it's not a suffering. It's something He chose for us. Why? First of all, He knows what each person can and cannot handle. That's all. I mean, think about a holy God choosing something just for you. Just for you. Just for you. It says He chose that for you. So He obviously must know what He needs to do for you. And you, and you, and you. What a God to choose something for me. Whether I want to accept it or not. He says, I choose that for you. For my own sake? Do you think I go through the things? I get the benefits of what He puts me through. But it's not for me. It is for Him. He says that. He makes that clear. He says it's for His own sake. Why? So He can get the glory. But I get the benefits. He's really refining me for what He wants me to do. But I get the benefits for Him doing it to me. I get them benefits. It's hard. I'd be a fool to sit up here and tell you that it was easy or something. It's not. It's hard. But the benefits, when you get through the other side, I wouldn't trade it, man, for the world. I'm sorry. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I just would not do it. I'm enjoying my life way too much, and I just am. Just am. Okay. God knows we will not always be ready to use and be sent out. He knows that we cannot go out in our own strength and with our own desires because it will not work. Before we get sent out, we must be sent through what God sees best for us to get us where we need to see Him and only Him. We have to take our eyes off of us. For once in our life, we need to go ahead and kick ourselves down and see God. And what, you know, He already knows the future. He sees it, man. You know, we think we do see it. And we don't. And that's what ruins everything. When we think we see what He really has for us. You know, here's what some foolish people do that go out there. You know, they get saved. And, you know, they'll be saved a week or so. I'm called to preach. I'm going to go out. I mean, against their pastor's advice. Against anything that God would do. I mean, never even tried. I mean, never even went through anything. Learned anything. Made any mistakes. And then they go out there and they're going to pollute God's name. I mean, you got to just stop jumping. See what God wants. See what kind of training He's got for you before He just sends you out there. He may do that to somebody, but I believe He takes some time and starts forming you where He needs you. Get you to do things here. Get you this way. Get you doing that. You know, then maybe He might send you. Maybe. Maybe not. We don't know that. But people are just jumping out all over the place, and I mean, it's just absolute confusion. God told Jonah to go out and preach to His people. Jonah and his flesh got in the way. Jonah 1:3. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. To go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah said, here, I want you to go out and do this. Jonah said, no, I'm going the other way. I mean, he just absolutely got in the flesh and said, I'm not doing it. I refuse to do it. He's running from God now. He's running from, oh, so you want to run from God? You really think that you're getting away from something, people? Here, I'm telling you tonight in Black Creek, you will not run from God. You can't run from God. You can't hide from Him. You can't go in the cleft of the rocks. You can't go under the sea. You can't go up in your living room. You can't go in your bathroom. You're not going to hide from God. He's got your number. He's going to find you wherever you're at. So you might as well just stop running and start running to Him. Stop running from Him. He's got something for you. And I guarantee it's better than what you're living now. Guarantee it. Stop running. The Lord went to, he went down to Joppa, he found the ship Tarshish, he paid the fare thereof, went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And God had to remove it. Jonah 1:7. Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then God had him where he needed him. God had him in that place where he could finally listen to him. Jonah, you tried running from me. Now I got you, buddy. You see, God brought him to a place where he knew Jonah would listen to him. God brought him to a place where he knew that Jonah was going to pray to God and say, please help me. And I'm telling you right now, that's what he does to everybody. He swallows you up with a big fish, and he puts you in a place where you will listen to him. When you will finally listen to him and seek him out, he puts you in the belly of that whale. And until you listen to him and finally say, you're right, Lord, you're going to stay there. And that's a troublesome time. That's a hard, hard time. That's a hard life. You want to get out of that belly, then you go ahead and give your life to God. You go ahead and submit yourself to him. Go ahead, if you're lost, and get saved. Get in this King James Bible and let God do what he needs to do with you. Stop being Jonah. Stop running from the presence of the Lord. It's obvious that he's been calling you. It's obvious because you're sitting in this pew tonight. It's obvious that there's something in your heart that keeps you coming back. What is it? Why run from him? Stop running from the presence of the Lord. Go ahead and let him get you out of the belly of that whale, man. You don't have to stay there. He didn't. When you were born, he didn't say you were going to stay in trouble the rest of your life. That's why I want you to stay. No, he planned a life for you if you would just see that. He has something better for you. I don't care if you had 3 strikes thrown at you from the day you were born. I had that. Guess what? I'm not in that place anymore. Why? God finally woke me up and said, hey, I'm going to take you out of the belly of that whale. No longer are you going to go through the things you used to go through because of my stupidity. Now I'm going to go through the things that I'm going to go through because God needs to go ahead and get rid of this flesh. Man, thank God for what he's doing in my life. Thank God. I just thank God for it. A lot of times I get trapped in the belly of the whale. You know what? Just thank him for it. You'll get out of it. I've been really depressed. Really depressed here. Not lately. I mean, I'm on top of the world right now, but I know that'll come crashing down. But you know what? I'm going to come out the other side, something different, learning something better, maybe a little closer to God than I was before. Maybe I'll just read my Bible a little more. I don't know. Maybe God just showed me something a little different. Who knows? But I know when I come out the other side, I'm always a better person than when I went in. Jonah comes out that way. Why wouldn't we? I'm his child. Of course he's going to do that to me. You see, that's the thing. You're right. I'm a fool. I just believe that kind of stuff, Pastor. I really just had that kind of faith that God would do that for me. That's what kind of fool I am. Jonah, let me see. And I cried. They heard us. He says here. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, "I cried. Thou hearest my voice." And then God should send him out. And Jonah 3:1-3. He said, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, the great city, and preach them the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. I'm just telling you now, God, listen, if you're God's child, let me just clear this up. If you're a child of God and you're running from God, he's going to put an end to that and it's going to stop and you're going to do what he says. So you might as well just surrender now and stop fighting it. Otherwise, you're going to keep going through it, go through it. You see, he tries to spare us of that stuff. That's not what he really has planned for us. He doesn't want us to continually go through things. He wants to say, oh, you see it? Boom. Open your eyes to it. This is what I need you to do. But stop fighting because you know who's going to win? Saved or unsaved. Do you know who's going to win? Saved or unsaved in here tonight. Do you understand and realize who's going to win in the end?
Amen.
That's a fact. You don't have to believe me. You don't even have to believe the word. But I'm just telling you now, unfortunately, if I have to stand there and see at the end and the judgment, it's going to be a heartbreaking day. Because you are not going to be the winner. I guarantee it. He is going to be the ultimate winner. He is going to be the one. And you know what? I don't know if you want to say it's funny or sad or whatever, but I'll tell you this. It's going to be funny when you're on your knees calling him Lord, kissing his feet, begging him for the Savior, and he's not going to. He's just not going to. Be too late then. I'm going to close with this. You really need to listen. This is very important. And also God has to remove us from the comfort zone. As we see here in Genesis 12:1, "Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." God had to get him as well as us to a place where we would listen to God and him alone. Then after God has afflicted us, removed us from ourselves and our comfort zone, God asks us, how far are you willing to go? Genesis 22:1-3 says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee in the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And, And Abraham rose up early in the morning. He said, he didn't even think about it. He just rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. Let me ask you this, people. What are we willing to give up? You see, Abraham didn't know what God was going to do, but he trusted Him and had willingness to give up whatever it was that he was going to take. And that's what God wants from us, a willingness to give and do whatever He asks, whatever it will take for Him to use us to accomplish His will. Are you willing to be moved out of the way? Are you willing to suffer for His sake? Are you willing to get out of the comfort zone? And if you are going through troubles, God is making you ready to suffer for Him. I'm just telling you now, how many of you tonight here, and this is the point I was telling you I got to come to, how many like Abraham are willing to give up their child, their one and only child, for God? Do you trust Him enough tonight to go ahead and say, it's all yours, God, take it all, and go ahead and walk by faith? I haven't reached that point yet. I'm a little afraid of it. But I need to come to that point in my life where I'm willing to say, Lord, You're right. It is You that's going to do everything. It's not me. I haven't come to that point in my life, but I sure like to be there. I sure like to have that where I'd be like Abraham and not question God. Just get up, get my stuff, and go. I need to be there tonight. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and I'm done. He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God, if I have to suffer, please let it be with You. Lord, if I have to suffer, I know Your power is going to be resting on me, so go ahead and let me suffer, Lord. Go ahead, and as long as I'm suffering for Your glory and not any of my stupidity, Lord. Lord, as long as I'm suffering for You because You have something for me, then go ahead and let me suffer, because I'd rather have You and suffer for You than go ahead and suffer for my own stupidity. How willing are we to be moved out of the way and let God do what He has to do for us? Pastor, I'm done.
Amen.